Good evening, everyone. In our holistic development of the parasha, believing that the Seder of Parashiyos have been embraced by Klal Yisrael, or in fact units. No parasha is a series of events or even mitzvahs, but rather there is some cohesion. There is some cohesive tapestry pervasively pervading the parasha. There is a pattern of verbiage, of theme, and our Messiah is that the names of the parashiyos, many of them noted by Chazal, are significant. They are not simply opening phrases, Bereishis Noach Lech Lecha Shmos Ve'era, but in fact reflect what the parasha is about. And with that in mind, I would like to develop Parsha Shmos Ve'ela Shmos. You cannot have had a more prosaic, some would argue stodgy or technical name, moniker than names. As the expression goes, what is it a name? But clearly Ve'ela Shmos, the title has primed us that this is all, this parasha, and by extension this sefer, is all about names. And certainly expressions regarding individuals' names begin to creep out from the text throughout the parasha. Whether it is Shema HaShif or Shema HaSpua regarding the midwives, whether it is the naming of Maisha, she called his name Maisha when Baspara calls him Maisha, whether it is even the descriptive phrases regarding identity. Identifiers like Ish Mitzri, right? Maisha sees an Ish Mitzri. Descriptive identifying phrase attacking a victimized Yid. Or whether the description of Maisha himself, when the B'nai Siyas recall him an Ish Mitzri, he's an Egyptian man, which Chazal see as actually an apt description of Moshe's lowly origin from which he will ascend to the status of Ish Elikim. Or whether it is Chazal's derivation on our parish that Yisrei has seven names. Or whether it is the naming of Gersha, Moshe's son. All of these expressions are going to reflect something to us in a way we might not have appreciated without that primer, without being primed by the Ve'ela Shmos that names are significant. But these are gentle clues. The theme of names in our parasha becomes unmistakable. When we expand our search beyond the human names, when we begin to consider Shemus of Hashem, and this is the quintessential parasha about Shemus Hashem. It is in this week's parasha at the Sneh, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, you've appeared to me as okay Avram, okay Yitzchak, okay Yaakov. Well, Klal Yisrael are not going to be satisfied with that. They're going to ask, Ma Shemo, this Rabbeinu Shalom, who you are coming and speaking in his name, right? This Rabbeinu Shalom who seems distant, not who we know in this godless pit. The wretched state of Gaul's Mitzrayim. Right? And from that vacuum, you're speaking of this elusive God. Mashamo, what is his name? Identify him for us. And the most fundamental shemos are given. Eka asher eka and yudke vavke, which Chazal called the shem atzmi. The essential names are given here. And the dinim, the halachas governing annunciation of the shem Hashem. Zeshmi lo'olam b'zeh zechri l'dar v'dar. How we may write the divine name, but may not enunciate the divine name. It is all derived from here. This is the quintessential parasha about Shem Hashem and the ability to identify Hashem even amidst God-forsaken conditions of Hester Panim. And I'm going to argue that the theme of Shem Hashem and how the notion of being able to find Hashem in Hester Panim and in that deep pit of seeming godliness, the ability to find Hashem in the Gula story, is all about Shemos, is intensified when we feel the pulse of the end of the parsha. Parsha Shmos, of course, concludes with a very intense scene when Moshe Rabbeinu is sent on seemingly a failed mission. Hashem sends him to redeem Klal Yisrael, but actually the intensity of the Shiva increases. Paro now denies them straw, right? And Moshe asks, what's going on? Lam hariyaisa lam hazeh. Well, Hashem resolves the issue in next week's parsha when the tide will turn. Shmos Tava'er, it's the parsha of Geula. And he says, oh, well, now Geula's going to happen. Go tell B'nai Yisrael, Ani Yud Kevavke. I appear to the others as Kel Shakai, a different name, a more surface name. Go tell B'nai Yisrael, Ani Yud Kevavke. The truth of Yud Kevavke, which I first revealed to you at the Snet, is now going to be overt. So you see in the juxtaposition of Parshis that the tension of Shibud, as it intensifies in the final scene of our parsha, all points to the resolution of Shem Hashem. And when Hashem can be fully identified as Yudke Vavke, then the entire Shemais is resolved. Because it is all a parsha about names, not only Elish Shemais Bnei Yisrael, the names of the Jewish people, but Elish, but the Shemus of the Jewish God of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well, that Elkei Avram, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov is Akan Yudke Vavke. And certainly, other appearances of Shem Hashem in the parsha assume added prominence in this perspective. For example, in the story, when Moshe Rabbeinu akas the Mitzri aggressor, the Ish Mitzri, who is victimizing the hapless Jew, and Moshe Rabbeinu kills him, how, according to Chazal? By enunciating the Shem Hashem, as the Arizal explains, this is the 42-letter name of Hashem, which he uttered, right? So that utterance of Shem Hashem in a parsha about names, and specifically the parsha about Shem Hashem, now assumes added prominence. It's not simply an isolated story of utilizing mystical intonations of divine name. But no, it is a revelation of Shem Hashem in this defense of the Jewish people, in line with the broader theme of the parsha. So at this stage in our journey, just with a magnifying, simply with a magnifying glass, simply tracing clues, not interpreting the clues, the first stage of our sleuthing, of our detective work, it's become apparent that this is, in fact, all a parasha about Shemos, the names of Bnei Yisrael, the names of Hashem, and somehow the two, the Shemos Bnei Yisrael and the Shemos of Hashem, converging with each other is what the parasha is all about. This understanding is underscored by Chazal's treatment of the opening pasuk, the Elishmos Bnei Yisrael itself. It says in Zohar HaKadosh, the Elishmos Bnei Yisrael means the Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended with Klal Yisrael down to Mitzrayim. Whereas the Zohar articulates it, the Ela, what is the gematria of the word the Ela? Zohar HaKadosh, this is the 42-letter Shem Hashem, which descended with them down to Mitzrayim. Now, don't you appreciate how delectable that Zohar is? When we trace that the entire theme of the parasha is the cleaving of the names of the people and the names of Hashem in one parasha. The Zohar is reading in the opening pasuk that the names of the Shvatim, the names of the Bnei Yisrael articulated in the parasha, are converging with the Shemus of Hashem, especially the name Ve'el, the name 42 itself. Right here you have the opening topical sentence lying there. Now we appreciate that theme which we have traced in the parasha. And this is reflected not only in sight, not only in the realm of sight of Paradise, but also in the realm of Drash as well. Because if you open up the Medrash Rabbah to that opening topical pasuk Ve'el Shemus Bnei Yisrael, says desire all of these names of Bnei Yisrael are al Shem HaGeula. They seem to be names of the people, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, but they are actually describing Hashem's intervention, Reuven al Shem, Hashem's intervention, Ra Hashem ba'anyam, Hashem saw the Jewish people's pain, Shimon al Shem, Shama, Hashem heard our pain, and so on. You see how the Medrash is interpreting these names of the people as actually references to divine attributes, which really mean Shemos. So I'm arguing that putting the pieces together here, right, in our own work of art here, right? Threading the threads together to create our own tapestry. We have a very compelling tapestry, though we have not explained it at all. what this means, what this represents, that this is a parsha of the confluence of Jewish names and names of Hashem. It's borne out in the parsha, and now in the opening topical sentence of the parsha as well, this is what it's all about, right? And again, before we deal with understanding, just in assessing the what, is it not delectably delicious that which Shem Hashem is the Zohar tracing in the opening pasuk in the parasha Ve'ela, the 42-letter name of Hashem, which we trace popping up in the parasha itself even before Yud Kevav Kein Eka, when Moshe killed the Mitzri with the 42-letter name of Hashem. You appreciate just the sense of that cherished sense of harmony, of symmetry, right? We have a lot of homework to do now, a lot of good exciting work to do. Not homework, homework's not exciting. A lot of good, right? A lot of good, exciting work to do. I'm all b'tayre b'ez Hashem developing it, but the theme is clear. Let's make something out of this. So, what is in a name? Many Sefri Machshava talk about in the context of Parsha Shmais and Sefer Shmais. The name, the giving identity to something, is taking what seems abstract and non-discernible and giving it bearings, clothing it, making it relatable. A human being who doesn't have a name exists, but they can't be related to. Who are they? Name is giving giloy, it is packaging something, it's giving the ability to discern something. Right, this is why many of the Bali Lashon explain the correlation between shame as a name and shmama as in desolation, based on the Radak and others, that this is an inverse pattern. Chazal associate this, by the way. Shame and shmama in the Gemara and Brachas, al tekri shamos al shamos, right? Because shmama means desolation, chaos, a lack of ability to relate to something. The pieces are all over the place. Mivubal, balagan, that great expression, balagan, right? That's shmama. Shame is resolving the balagan, putting things together, giving ability to relate to it. Safe that on the heels of Sefer Bereishis, Sefer HaAvos, which are the pieces in place, but the pieces not mesudar, right? Sefer Bereishis is a very hazy Sefer, of a lot of potential here, but not potential that has expressed itself, right? So to speak, the Av gives the seed, the Av gives the potential. The potential, the Reishis of Jewish peoplehood, but it has not come together in a relatable way, as we traced in the final pasuk of Sefer Bereishis, that splendid anticlimactic pasuk, bringing out the anticlimactic nature of Sefer Bereishis by Yosimu Lo Ba'aram B'Mitzrayim. Yosef is in a dark, narrow box in the middle of Mitzrayim. What a way to end the story, breaking out. Yes, Bereishis, Sefer, has a lot of potential, but we're not in a good place. You need the nation, you need the development, Klal Yisrael. You need the Shmais, right? All that potential needs to come together in a way which is expressed, discernible, everything Yiddish, everything Jewish, the names of the people, Jewish identity, which is ultimately the identification of Hashem. We are a testament to Hashem. Shimcha Karasa Bishmeinu. Hashem is discerned through us. The Elish Mais B'nai Yisrael, as we're tracing from Chazal, is actually reflecting who Hashem is. Everything meaningful, everything divine, everything Jewish, which in turn means everything divine, is going to be expressed through our parasha. And this is why our parsha is the parsha of the most essential shame. Who is Hashem? A concept of who is Hashem. Who is Klal Yisrael by extension? Who is Hashem? It is all expressed here. It is all becoming discerned here. I'm going to use here in discerning the gradual revelation of Shem Hashem in our parasha. I'm going to use the framework of the Shlach HaKadosh. This is not unique to the Shlach. He just articulates it very powerfully. He writes that the names of Parsha Shmais are really the names of creation. Right? Building on the theme of Chazal, the Yetzias Mitzrayim is really revealing the truth of divine creation. Asar Makas connect Asar Mamarim. Right? So says the Shlach that Yudke Vavke, the Shem Atzmi, the essential name, is the essence of creation, but there's a form. We know Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Hashem HaChesed V'Harachamim. Ultimately, Hashem's here to give. Hashem is loving. That's the ultimate truth of Hashem that we know. But it has to be expressed through a form of gvura, of discipline, of structure. And that all of Machshav L'Bar B'Midas HaDin, as the Mekupalim tell us, is not that Hashem is all about discipline. It's that the expression of Hashem's love of Tov U'Meitiv requires a world of discipline, structure, right? So the, as much as Chazal articulate that as a Yud Kei Vav Kei versus Eli Kim dichotomy, Yud Kei Vav Kei, love and so on, has to assume the form of Eli Kim. Bereishis Bara Eli Kim, the Shlus is that the 42-letter name of Hashem is also a name of Gvura, the Gvura which allows an execution of the love of creation, right, into viable form, right? To ensure that Hashem's love in creation will not be, right, what's the expression, a Las Vegas wedding, a three-day love affair, and it won't last. To assume there'll be structure, to assume it'll last, discipline, right? Shlus apparently telling us that the Shem Mem Beis is the metaphysical source and marker for the Shem Eli Kim, right? And that is why this revelation is beginning with the Shem Ve'ela, the 42-letter name of Hashem, and it's expressing itself in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, which is the place of Hester Panim, the vacuum of the Devarim, is where these truths are being established. Paro denies the truth of divine creation. Paro says, Liu Urivani is Hasini, as though I made myself. Man's smugness, I am detached from creator. Well, in Mitzrayim, this truth of a creator has been established, first in terms of the Eli Kim / Mem Beis framework, right? And that is why I would suggest Moshe, even before the burning bush and the ultimate expression of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Moshe is first intervening when he kills the Mitzri, asserting the 42-letter. First, that there's a concept of divine discipline before we deal with the higher divine truth of love, right? There's Eli Kim, there's a name of Mem Beis, and then what's going to be revealed at the burning bush is there's a higher truth of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Just for the purpose of coordinates, it's Mavor and Rishainim, Ramban and even more Sirabena Bachaya, and really by extension in the Medrash in this week's Parsha. The first name which Hashem reveals at the burning bush, Eka Asher Eka, is an even higher source of the of Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, as the Ramban says, the end of the name Eka, Aleph Hey Yud Hey, the Yud Hey that ends Eka is really the, where Eka ends is where Yud Kei Vav Kei starts. Aleph Hey Yud Hey, the Yud Hey at the end of Eka is where Yud Kei Vav Kei starts. Rabbeinu Bachaye articulates this very Kabbalistically. Yud Kei Vav Kei, which begins with the letter Yud, which is connected to the highest sphere of Chachma, right? That's the highest sphere that we have some way of dealing with. Well, there's something higher called Keser, divine Ratzo, Hashem's will, which is behind the system of the spheres. The beginning of Eka is pointing to that truth of Hashem's Ratzon Lehate, of Hashem's drive to be loving. That's what's informing in terms of KVLK. Without making this too Pnimius HaTaradik, what I want to make clear is that this is the cohesive pattern of the parasha, right? It is spiraling up higher from the truth of divine discipline in the world. And that chain of meaning, of purpose, everything which is Jewish, everything which is divine, to the higher truth of love, which is the confluence of the Shem Eka and the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when you read our parsha carefully, you'll really see something magnificent. The Rabbona Shalom is highlighting and accentuating this gradual truth. That first, the truth of divine discipline. There's yesh din v'yesh dayan. There's a divine boss. First, that has to become apparent, that chain. And only later, the truth of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that there's love behind it. This has to be a gradual revelation. And even the truth that Hashem intervenes towards his oppressed people, on a very superficial level, can be understood from a discipline perspective. Right? In a world where the Gestapo or the Mitzrim are trampling the neck of the victim with their boot, that is a world where it seems, Chalila, there's no dinner dying, there's no judge. The truth of Eli Kim, first, is there's a boss here. And then there's going to be an even greater truth called Yud Kei Vav Kei, the name of essence, that he is essentially about love. And this is going to be very, very gradual between Parashat Shmos and Vayera. Initially, as we said, the first revelation we're tracing here is Eli Kim / the 42-letter name of Hashem, the Ela. Moshe's asserting it through killing the Mitzri with that 42-letter name. But in a certain sense, Moshe knows Eli Kim / the 42-letter name of Hashem. The notion that there's a boss here, that's not going to do it. The people are going to understand there's more to who this Hashem is. We want more. And let's trace this in the Pesukim. Hashem reveals himself to Moshe at the bush, initially saying, I am Elikei Avicha, Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. I'm Eli Kim. I'm the God, I'm the Lord. I'm the boss who the Yavas recognized. And Moshe says, more than boss, more than divine disciplinarian. The people are going to know they're going to want more here. Who is Hashem? Right? The notion which ultimately is love behind it all. The fact that simply Hashem is a boss and Hashem ensures there's justice. Relatively speaking, that's not really who Hashem is. The people are going to pick up on that. Mashamay. Hence the truth of Eka, Asher Eka and Yudkei Vavkei is going to have to be revealed. I want to bring this out, this gradualism, that Hashem is almost Kibiyachal consciously making this a gradual revelation. Hashem is almost withholding himself. Hashem is concealing himself. I don't want you to pick up on Yudkei Vavkei Eka too quickly. And this is in the very circumstance of the Gullus. Even when I'm going to intervene here and show I care for the oppressed, I'm a judge, right? I want the truth to be a gradual evolving revelation here, right? First, just Hashem did not reveal himself originally to Moshe as Yudkei Vavkei. Because originally, it's this truth, the 42-letter name of Hashem / Eli Kim in the beginning of the parasha. Hashem's kind of holding his card still. The people have to ask for more. The people have to be penetrating more. Penetrating the veneer of Hester Panim to want more. You see this from an even greater pattern in the parasha. Because let's notice something here. When does the name of Hashem first appear in the parasha? Beyond the Miyaldus were Yari Elokim. Okay, that's human beings being God-fearing. But when does Hashem first reveal himself in the parasha? Right? Not in the beginning of the parasha. Hashem first becomes a protagonist in the parasha when the people cry out and Hashem listens. In Shmos Perek Beis, by Yishmael Kim Es Nakasa, right? Until this point, Perek Beis, Pasuk Talit, Hashem is not really present. It's total Hester Panim. Paro seems to be right? The Gestapo is on top, right? Oh, but Hashem is beginning to intervene, right? He hears the cry of the oppressed. Listen how again and again Hashem is making it clear, I'm only intervening so far as Eli Kim as the judge. I'm not yet showing my Yudkei Vavkei, my love. But listen to the staccato echo. Vayehi b'yom harab mahein. Vayamas Melch Mitzrayim Vayanchu Bnei Yisrael Min HaAvodah dot. Vatal Shavasam El Ha Eli Kim. Vayishma Eli Kim Es Nakasam. Vayizkar Eli Kim Es Brisoi. Vayar Eli Kim. It's a four pasuk staccato echo. It's the Ve'el. It's the 42 letter. It's Eli Kim. It's the judge, right? And then at the burning bush, you'll notice something that even when Hashem identifies himself as Yud Kei Vav Kei, directly to Moshe, he always calls himself Eli Kim, right? Vayar Hashem, Kisar Liris. Yud Kei Vav Kei saw Maisha was approaching. Vayikrei Lav Elikin. Yud Kei Vav Kei saw he's approaching, but when speaking to him, Vayikrei Lav Elikin. He immediately dons the mask. The most I'm showing is Divine Judge. I'm still holding on to that card of who I am, of what my true shame is, that I'm a loving God, right? Vayomer Anochi Elikei Avicha, Elikei Avram, Elikei Yitzchak, Elikei Yaakov. Okay? Whenever it's Vayomer a love, it's Elikim. Vayomer Hashem, Ro Reisi. Where there's no a love, Vayomer Hashem, immediately when he starts to speak a love directly to him, it's Elikim. And hence in every conversation, Vayomer Moshe El Ha Elikim. Vayomer Moshe El Elikim Hine Anoichi Ba. Vayomer Elikim El Moshe. Ooh. Now the tide is going to begin to shift. Akka Asher Akka. And then Vayomer, I'm revealing more of my name. And then Vayomer Oid Elikim Kaisamar El Bnei Yisrael Yud Kei Vav Kei El Kei Avisechem. Until he reveals himself as Eka and Yud Kei Vav Kei, he's very carefully accentuating. The most you're saying is Elikim. Because in our parasha, even when Hashem pierces the godless veneer of Mitzrayim, it's first that they're simply a judge. But then the people, Moshe speaking in the name of the people, said, we need more. We need more. Judge is not enough. That they're simply a judge, an Elikim who hears their pain and says, I'm going to intervene. That's not enough. That's relatively speaking. That's not Hashem. We need more. Simply a boss who runs his ship with justice. That's not Hashem. That's not a meaningful world. It's patently obvious that people has to be more to whom Hashem is. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim purports to be establishing. V'idatam ki ani yud kei vav kei. Because ultimately in Mitzrayim, Hashem is not simply going to ensure that scores are settled, that the good prosper and the evil suffer. Hashem is going to show, I'm invested here. I care about this. The Eser Makos, which are all core depictions of who Hashem is, they're not simply things he does, but they're who he is, as represented by Makos Bechiris, where he appears himself, Anivoli Malach, Anivoli Shlich, I am here to ensure the redemption of Bnei Yisrael. I'm not simply a judge in court ensuring that justice is carried out. No, no, this is me. This is what I'm about. I am about Aniyad Kevavke, Vishmi HaChesed V'Harachem. This is what I'm about. That's really the tafkid of the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what Parsha Shmos, Sefer Shmos, is really setting out to establish all identified meaning of, well, everything identified as meaningful, everything Yiddish, everything divine, is about this truth and pointing to this ultimate truth of love. And this is the very to be or not to be question in the story. When the avoda intensifies at the end of the parsha, Moshe's mission fails. The resolution is only what he says in the beginning of Parsha's Va'era. I revealed myself to the Yavos as Kal Shakai, but now I'm going to show myself to be Yud Kei Vav Kei. You need Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem has already shown himself to be a judge. He heard their pain, right? But the fact that there's a pause, there's a cheshbon, whatever is behind a midas hadin saying, Hashem's not going to resolve the struggle immediately. That's a midas hadin equation. It's only the revelation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem is loving. So there ultimately cannot be a reality in which we're living in a black hole which is not loving. And hence Parshas Va'era says, right, now I have to show Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. And you'll notice an interesting thing, if I could take the technicality of the pattern which I traced tonight and the evolving Elikim to Yud Kei Vav Kei one step further. You'll notice in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, one final time, Hashem reverts back to the name Elikim before he segues to Yud Kei Vav Kei. In the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Vayadaber Elikim al Moshe, Vayomer Elav Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. And it is so funny, right? He's about to say Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei, but he first says, Vayadaber Elikim al Moshe. Rashi picks up on it and gives one explanation. But I'm going to suggest, in light of the greater pattern which we're tracing in the Shemais Ve'era story, the entire story is all about, before Yud Kei Vav Kei is revealed, Hashem is overtly showing Elokim. Before he reveals Chesed V'Rachem, he's accentuating the truth as Elokim, right? What this pasuk is saying is, Moshe, it seems harsh right now. You complained at the end of Parsha Shemais. The conditions are worsening. Indeed, it's from the Elikim position that I'm morphing to Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vayitaber Elikim Amayisha, Vayyamre Elov, Ani Yud Kei Vav Kei. So in fact, the entire pulse of Parsha Shemais is really gradual revelation of the truth of Hashem, as we said. The parsha begins with no Shem Hashem until Hashem hears the cry of the oppressed, but it remains a very much of an Elikim focus. Then it shifts from Elikim, that there's a judge, to the higher truth of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is slowly going to be revealed over the course of this redemption. Whenever the Sheba intensifies, that truth of Yud Kei Vav Kei becomes a question truth, and Parshas Va'era is saying it's only resolved when Hashem's going to say once and for all at the time of the Eser Makos, I'm now going to reveal the truth of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's kind of the picture here, and how this is all a parsha about Shemus, all a parsha about revealing the most identify truths of Yiddishkeit as Parsha Shemais. And I want to take this one step further. This contrast between Elikim and Yud Kei Vav Kei is so essential to Parsha Shemais and really the greater story of Yetzias Mitzrayim that it's really the heart of the struggle with Parah. The pasuk says, Moshe marches into Paro at the end of our parasha, speaking in the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei Elikei HaIver. So both truths. There's a reality of love, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and he's a disciplinarian. Okay, so Paro, the atheist, is challenged with two truths. There's Yud Kei Vav Kei and there's Elikei. Which truth does Paro challenge? Yud Kei Vav Kei or Elikim? In the very next pasuk, Paro says, Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei Asher Ashram B'Kaili. He doesn't challenge the truth of Elikim. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei he challenges. He challenges everything about Yud Kei Vav Kei, not Elikim, the notion that there can be higher beings of justice, disciplinarians. Paro is the great disciplinarian himself. He's the tyrant himself. The fact that there can be a greater authority figure just means a greater tyrant. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei on multiple levels. Yud Kei Vav Kei in terms of Hayahayavia, that there's an omnipotent God, which of course troubles a pagan, but I'm arguing more specifically the fact that there's a being of love, right? That's really what Paro is challenging, right? And you feel this pulse in the pasuk. After Paro says, Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei Asher Ashram B'Kaili, doesn't challenge Elkei ever. Mi Yud Kei Vav Kei Asher Ashram B'Kaili, Moshe immediately plays diplomacy right and says, okay, I got to talk to you only in terms of Elikim language. And he says in the next pasuk, okay, Elkei Ivram Nikrei Lev. You're not ready yet for Yud Kei Vav Kei. The most you could deal with is you're a tyrant, you deal with bosses, okay? Okay, you're a tough cookie, there's a higher tough cookie in heaven, okay? Everything with those who have a false ashkafa, right? Those who who envision a harsh thing about Hashem. Okay, Paro could deal with that. Yeah? Okay, Elkei Ivrim Nikrei Lena, but ultimately Paro through the Machzis is gonna come to the realization of Yidatem V'yodu Mitzrayim Kani Yud Kei Vavkei. And I want to trace this issue that Paro is really at war with the truth of Yud Kei Vavkei, that there's an ultimate being of love, which is everything. As a tyrant, he resists. More than Elikim, I want to trace this in the Medrash. It says in the Medrash Rabbah in this week's Parsha that when Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Ashma Bakol, says the Medrash, you know what the discussion really is? Paro says, oh, you're speaking in his name, you're speaking the name of Yud Kei Vavkei, says the Medrash. He says, well, let me look in my book of gods. Let me be mechapis b'sefer sheli. Let me look in my book of the gods. There's Elikei Noyav, there's... Oh, and he says, Chipashti shmo. I looked for his name. I don't see the name of your God in my book. Right? The Medrash is clearly picking up on Yud Kei Vavkei. Shmo. It's highlighting Shmo. Me Yud Kei Vavkei Asher Shmo Bakayla. Right? He can't find Yud Kei Vavkei Shmo, the name, the ultimate name, which was revealed back at the Push Mashmai. That's what Paro can't find in his book, meaning that's what is beyond the comprehension of Paro. Paro's a polytheist. He could deal with many Elikims. There's Elikei Moav, Elikei Midian. He could deal with Elikei Ivrim too. But Yud Kei Vavkei, that's what's beyond his purview. And this is borne out further in the Medrash, when the Medrash says that Moshe and Aaron respond to him. You want to know who our God is? He's mighty. He created the world. But you know what else he does? Mafriach Deshaim, he brings vegetation. Myrid Geshamim, he brings rain. Va'oina Chayes Tsar, as Ha'ober Bimeimai, he answers a pregnant woman for a baby to be born. Right? Our God's mighty, our God created the world, and our God is caring also. Rain, vegetation, and he answers a birthing woman and allows a child to be born. And you appreciate that swinging from the mighty. Right? Yeah, our God's mighty. But it swings from the mighty to the tender. Right? That's what Yud Kei Vavkei is about. Right? The mighty who's also the tender. That's what Yud Kei Vavkei is about. That's the response to Paro Mash. Mi Yud Kei Vavkei, I don't see his name in the book. And the tyrant's inability to understand the ultimate being is loving. That's what's at the heart of this entire Yetzias Mitzrayim show. It's really a struggle about names, about how do you relate to everything, right? How do you identify truth, meaning ultimately Hashem? What are the Shemais Bnei Yisrael? What are the identifying signs of everything Jewish? What are the identifying signs of everything divine? That's what the story is all about and breaking out. There's no abstraction here. Bereishis is a safer abstraction. Now it's bringing out concrete truths. And that's what the revelation of Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. One final dimension, and those who have Derana from Arif, please do so. One final dimension, which I want to bring out even quickly. There's one point that bothers me. And that is, if Parsha Shmos is the Parsha about the names, making Hashem identifiable, then why is it the Parsha of Galus? Parsha Shmos is cohesive in its chronology, that it's the Tekufa of Galus. It begins with Paro enslaving Klal Yisrael, and it ends with Paro intensifying the Shebud, and it's such a clear line in the sand. Next week's Parsha of Eira, right, is when he says Ani Yod Kei Vav Kei, and that's when the Esther Makos start, the Arba Mishnayos, Shogul, and the Makos. Parsha Shemais is actually the Parsha of the Galus, right? So how can it be that the Shemus, the Parsha of Shemais, of names, of making the truth identifiable, right, is this Parsha, which is the Parsha of the Galus? If anything, this is the Parsha which is making the truth of the divine more elusive. And this is born, my question, it's not my question. It's born out of the Parsha itself. Our Parsha ends with problems. Moshe says, Lama Harios, Lama Zah. And it's in next week's Parsha that Hashem says, now I'm going to make an apparent on Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? So how ironic that the Parsha of Shmais is the Parsha which ends with seemingly his name is not completely revealed. It's only next week. It's only the Parsha where the Makkah start, when Ani Yod Kei Vav Kei, right? This is a tension which is so overt in the Parsha itself, in the name of the Parsha Shmais, when it's the Parsha which is ending without a resolution to the Ani Yod Kei Vav Kei, only in next week's Parsha. How do we deal with it? It must be that even though we grapple with the truth of Yod Kei Vav Kei in our Parsha, the truth of Yod Kei Vav Kei and divine love is not despite the Galus, but is because of the Galus. And the question is, how do we deal with it? But this is the climactic question of our Parsha itself, the book as we developed it. And I think Chazal are clearly picking up on this. When they say that ultimate name of Hashem, Ekash or Eka, revealed in our Parsha, means what midrashically? Eye imahem begalus zu. The ultimate name of Hashem is that he's with us in the Galus, which is also the truth of the Sneh, the fact that Hashem is appearing in a lowly Sneh, which represents Imo Anochi Betzara. The ultimate name is not the redemption. And perhaps it's significant that the redemption of Parshas Va'era is not associated with Ekash or Eka. It's with Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is a lower, more expressed truth. He's loving, he's going to intervene. Ekash or Eka, which is the even higher truth above Chachma Kesar, that's associated with the Galus, right? The Galus. Hashem's with us in the Galus. Parsha Shmais, the Parsha of the Galus is Shmais. The highest identification of Hashem is Hashem in the Galus. Hashem's with us in the Galus, which is the basis for his redeeming us, right? But the deepest name, the deepest identification is he's right there with us when we're suffering, right? This is a very, 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 very powerful truth. It sounds esoteric, but it's a very, very powerful truth, which we could relate to even in the human sphere. I'm going to argue that someone whose presence you feel in your life, let's talk on the human plane, someone whose presence you feel in your life, the deepest moment of connection is when they put their hand around you and say, I'm here with you in the pain. Not when they resolve the problem. Right? This is, of course, the old feminine complaint against men. I don't want solutions. I don't want a man with a screwdriver in his hands trying to fix my problem. I want to feel that you're with me in my pain. Whether you will or won't be able to solve my problem, and whether it is the correct time or place to even be solution-oriented, right, which is the great relational question within itself, right? But certainly the basis of any connection is I'm with you in the pain, right? And then, at the right time, the solution. But the solution is actually the expression of the deeper truth that we're like this, I'm with you, you're with me in your pain. That is why Ekash or Eka, the highest truth, the truth of Kesser, the highest identified truth of the divine, is that he's with us in Galus Parsha Shmais. The expression thereof is Yud Kei Vav Kei in Parshas Va'era, right? And perhaps this is reflected in the Ramban in our Parsha, when the Ramban says that Ekash or Eka means Ani Oinet Tzakasam, I answer prayers, which is the entire theme of Parsha Shmais. Hashem does not resolve problems. Geula doesn't happen in our Parsha. But this is the Parsha when Vayishma Nakasam and when Bnei Yisrael recognize Hashem hears our cry. When Moshe Rabbeinu arrives, it says, and Bnei Yisrael believed Kishama Hashem Nakasam. Right? The truth of Parsha Shmais, the truth of Galus, which is the higher truth, we feel more connected to Hashem than ever before. When we feel in Galus that Hashem is with us like this in our pain, that is what Parsha Shmais is establishing. Right? Based on this Ramban, the highest shame, the Eka, is that he hears our cry. Perhaps that is shot in the Pasuk, which we say every day. Yan Chasha Biyem Sara, Asagevcha Shemeleke Yaakov. When Hashem answers you, you are elevated by the name. I'm going to say that's the name Echa, that's the highest name, right? It's that Hashem answers you in pain, that when he's with you in your pain, before he resolves it, before he pulls out the screwdriver and is savior to the damsel in distress. The fact that he's with us in the pain when we are captured in the castle, right? Behind the moat, right? With no drawbridge and so, right? That is the truth of Echa. That is why Parsha Shmeis, the Parsha of the Gullus, is actually the highest revelation of the name. The underlying truth of divine love is that he's with us in our pain. That will bring then further action, further Yudke Vavke, the implementation of Echa. I care about you, I love you, I save you, but it's Bedavka Parsha Shmeis, the Parsha of the Gullus, which, and it could only be in the Gullus, it could only be in the position of pain and the possibility that we feel him in our pain, that the ultimate truth, the ultimate identifiable truth about who Hashem is revealed. May we all be zeicher to feel this in our life, the highest moment of intimacy with the divine, availability to find an identified HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when we feel him with us in our pain. That's Echa, which now will bring Yeshua's, which are the further manifestation of Yudkei Vavkei, Parsha Shmeis, the Parsha of the Gullus. That is the space, the sacred space, where the highest name is revealed. May we be zeicher to see it. Amen. Kein Yiratzayim.